It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation, and engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Here we are. Welcome to the program. You know, I could talk about razor blades if you'd like. I think it's a Gillette. I think it's Gillette. The three blades. The first blade lifts the hair ever so slightly so that the next blade can lift it even higher and the third one can cut it or something like that. Anyway, welcome to the show. Scott, you got some razor blades over there?
I'm an electric razor man.
You are. You do it on the car drive?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
That's true, because you know you can't do the harmonica and the electric razor at the same time.
Yeah, you end up covered with little itty bitty hairs.
When am I going to hear the harmonica?
You have heard a harmonica, I'm sure, at some point.
You got to bring it on the show. Scott is a more than amateur.
I'm a hobbyist.
Harmonica player.
A mere hobbyist.
All right, well, we'll get to the serious business at hand.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
Be very fast, but now he's ready to get out of here. All right, Scott, come on. You're good.
I'm shy, David. You know
I know
that.
You are. You're very shy.
Wednesday's market, not bad, coming off of Tuesday's market, which was pretty lousy. The Dow up 78 points on Wednesday's market. That's
got back about, 40, 50% of what
yeah,
we
right
lost?
Yeah, right in there somewhere. NASDAQ, good day, up 25. S&P up 9 points. That's a pretty solid day on the S&P. Oil up $1.50 to $106, and gold up 13, but still inside of 1,700 at 1,685. Overall, to me, a pretty good day.
Okay, that sounds pretty solid. No real bad news coming out?
No, really, no real bad news other than the fact that the day before the market was so bad.
Okay.
So we certainly didn't want to see a follow-up to that.
Well, and the only reason we really are calling it so bad, ladies and gentlemen, is because we're getting a little bit spoiled.
Yeah.
You know, that for this year, up until Tuesday, we had no day where we lost more than 100 points on the Dow, correct?
45 market days straight.
It's like having 45 days without an accident at the workplace.
That's right, and then you have to change the sign.
So now we got to go back to one.
One. Yeah, but a good day, you know, and we're going to have, if you're going to have 45 non-volatile days and 45 predominantly up days, you're going to get a big down day in there somewhere. People are going to take profits.
Well, and that's really the point, is I want to make sure people understand when we say it was a bad day, it was a rough day, it's in context, because really a 150 point drop was nothing last year, right? 2011, that was typical. That was a background noise.
Yeah, I really wasn't worried about it. Now, if we had another significantly down day, another story. But
and I don't think we want to get too excited unless we see a couple hundred, 300 points. That's when we need to really pay attention.
Yeah, but you know, there was sort of mixed news out of Greece on Wednesday that could have sent the market south if it wanted to. This whole Greek bond swap thing that they already agreed to, now they've got to get everybody to get in line and hand their bonds in to get the new ones. And some people are saying, well, I don't really know if I want to be in line.
You know what would be, and of course, this is the cynical skeptic in me and a bit of a conspiratorial thinking person. That's a mouthful. Anyway, the point is, you know, it's almost like it's such an up and down thing. We're going to dance. We're not going to dance. We're going to dance. We're not going to dance. That sometimes I wonder, is somebody saying, okay, I tell you what, let's buy puts or calls on the stock market over in the U.S.
And cause a little volatility.
I mean, I know that sounds kind of you know, crazy, but we're going to talk a little bit later in the program about some of the nonsense that does go on.
That is not outside the realm of possibility. But by the end of the day, the European trading day, they had 30 banks and funds agreed to take part, which basically assured that the deal would go through and that Greece will get their 130 billion euro payment later on this month.
All of that for the 130 billion, and how long will that hold them?
Not long. I mean, we're going to have to go through this again. There's no question about it. But overall, good news. Also, on the economic front, Wednesday, you know, this week I have been saying this is a big week for jobs. On Wednesday, we got the ADP National Employment Report. What they do is go out and try to determine how many private jobs were created, basically meaning non-governmental. And 216,000 jobs created in February, according to the report. That's a pretty good precursor going into Friday's monthly jobs report, which is overall economic jobs created. Economists are expecting about 210 in new jobs to be announced on Friday.
Now, don't we need about 150,000 new jobs just to absorb the new people coming in?
Yeah, we really need about 350 to 400,000 jobs. To me, would be robust growth, like growth that we could be excited about.
So if we had 200, that's 200,000 new jobs. Now, is that net new?
Yes.
Okay, so that not only takes into account the number of people that are coming onto the workforce who've never worked or just turned, you know, 22 or 18 or whatever, and they're entering the workforce, but also folks that have lost their job. That's all counted in that number.
That's right. And that's why this number is lower than the private number, because the government jobs are shrinking.
Yeah. Governments are, the city, county, and federal governments are shedding employees.
Right.
Okay. Speaking of shedding, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
All right, very good. Scott, I think we wanted to talk a little bit more about what?
Employment? A couple other things. Well, we have a couple other economic announcements that came out Wednesday. Federal Reserve reported consumer credit grew by $17.8 billion in January, largely driven by student loans. Revolving credit was actually down. Non-revolving credit was up. So that shows us student loans and car purchases primarily.
Probably is a lot more in the car industry.
Yeah. So people are out there spending. I think that does bode well for the GMs and the Fords of the world. Also, in the real estate front, you know, there's real estate news every day. On the real estate front for Wednesday's market, weekly mortgage applications fell. Refinancing demand is falling a little bit.
Because the rate's coming up?
Well, if they're coming up, it's just only incrementally and not enough, I don't think, to keep people away.
What do you think it is?
I don't know. It could be just that most of those who are going to refinance have refinanced. I think we have to be getting to the end of that cycle.
Maybe there's a bubble there of the people that can. And maybe as the economy improves and real estate values start to come up, maybe there'll be another wave of that.
And as credit eases.
Yeah.
Because I know people personally who have applied for refinances who can't get it. And they just, well, I'll just wait till credit eases and reapply.
Because the banks don't want to lend it out.
That's right.
Okay.
Especially to my friends. In corporate news, Apple unveiled the next generation iPad, which they did not officially name. They just said the next iPad. I don't know if it's the iPad HD or
4G.
Yeah, but I mean, they didn't really slap a...
Now, 4G doesn't mean 4 gigabytes. That means fourth generation.
Yes.
Yeah. I found that out. I did a little reading on that.
Oh, good.
Because I was like, what is that?
It has a very high resolution display. I think the feedback that Apple got on previous iPads with it was that they were great for using content, but not creating content. So the new iPad has an anti-shake video camera and 1080 HD video and some, you know, some pretty cool things if you're...
Oh, so you can actually use it to take video.
Yeah.
What about pictures? Can you take pictures?
Yeah, they upgraded the camera as well.
There's a camera on it now.
Uh-huh.
Oh, see, I've got the original. We don't have a camera, so...
Yeah, and then also in corporate news, on the earnings front, Pandora really had a really brutal day on Wednesday, down about 24% after they handed in weak outlook going forward. They actually announced... They announced an increase in sales, pretty strong increase in sales, but they lowered outlook. So I think it's the old story where they're losing money on every sale, but they're going to try to make it up in volume.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so make it even better.
Yeah, that's kind of where they are. But all eyes really for the remainder of the week will be on Friday's big jobs report that we get from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and we'll see where our unemployment rate is.
Well, a lot of the expectations from, you know, all the different folks that are weighing in on this unemployment number, everybody's expecting it to, and I don't know if it's just wishful thinking or if it's just if we... You know, if we grunt real hard that the unemployment rate will come down, but it seems to be this momentum of, I don't know if it's real, but at least there's a momentum of the rate going lower through the end of the year. And Associated Press did a survey, and they looked at 24 private, corporate, and academic economists and what they were thinking. And their forecast here, so I'll read it right from the article from USA Today. This is really good. They said Americans are gradually saving less and borrowing more, which getting
That's
to
growth.
What, just what you said, Scott,
yeah.
Which is reversing a shift toward frugality that followed the financial crisis and started the Great Recession.
Yeah, that helps speed growth, though. So that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. That's number one. Number two, they said that President Obama deserves, I was really surprised by how bold this is, by the way. President Obama deserves little or no credit for the decline. Declining unemployment. Only one of the 19 economists who answered the question said that Obama should get a lot of credit. They gave most of the credit to the consumers who account for 70% of economic growth and business. I couldn't agree more with that. Not so much with not the president, but that it's all about the consumer. It's 70% of the economy and the other 30% is government. But the truth is, it's all the consumer. It's always been always about the consumer and small businesses. Half of that job number you gave, Scott, half of those job numbers came from small businesses 50 and under.
Oh, I'm sure. And these economists are not talking about an insignificant change in their unemployment estimate. They're talking about an 8% unemployment rate by election day.
That's pretty amazing. And the economy, third point, economy has begun to be self-sustaining, where the job growth is starting to fuel more consumer spending and people are hiring. A guy opened a bike shop in town, said, hey, you know, things are going well. I'm going to hire a person.
Yep. And
there you go.
That person has more money to spend.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
And there's a whole nother person.
All right. Terrific. Well, you know, everything seems to be going in the right direction, as we continue to say, just not very quickly.
Well, if you're happy, Scott, I'm happy. So
I don't know if I would go.
Well,
that
okay,
far.
I won't go that far. But all right, let's take a quick break. Come back. I got to talk about. Don't forget about the potential tax consequences of canceled debt, and then of course we have an update from Forbes on the billionaire list. Stay tuned.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2. Are you gambling with too much money invested in the stock market? How can you tell? It's simple. The rule of 100. Take your age and subtract it from 100. The result is how much you might want to keep in the market. The rest should be off the table, invested in something safe. Every rule has an exception, but the rule of 100 is a good starting point to determine if your portfolio is out of balance. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we're back, and I threw a couple things at you there for the break. Let me get to this real quickly, because I know Scott wants to talk about the billionaires. He can hardly wait. Canceled debt. Just real quick. Here's what I want you to be aware of. You get cancellation of your debt. You're like, thank God, that's off my back. Well, under the tax code.
You're talking about a credit card that gets written off?
Yeah, or anything like that that gets written off. Under the tax code, that's income. Your relief of debt is income.
So totally disgusting. I'm like so sure. It's like barf me out. Ew, gag me with a spoon.
So there you go. You got to pay the tax if you get debt relief. Now, there are exceptions. If you filed bankruptcy, you were insolvent at the time. There's a couple things that you need to be very careful about there, but you can say, look, I went bankrupt. Here's what happened. You don't have to then pay the tax on it, but you've got to be careful. And I highly recommend consulting with a CPA to get your taxes done if that's something you're dealing with, and they can help you navigate and file the, you know, the proper forms with, you know, this 982, the 1099Cs, publication 4681, all those numbers that can help you sort it out.
$75 billion in credit card balances written off in 2009-2010.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot. If you apply a 15% tax rate, it's a very, very small piece of what we need.
There's about $10 million there,
yeah,
on the table. Mm-hmm. Well, no, speaking of billions, great segue, Scott. Thank you. Speaking of billions, the Forbes just released the world's billionaires for 2012, and I didn't see your name.
Mine?
Nope.
I stay under the radar.
I looked through the whole list, but there was a couple of interesting things. We had a total of 1,226 billionaires, which is an increase. What do we got? There was at least another 128 newcomers, a few people that came back. Some people fell off the list, but overall, the total number increased. The billionaires are from 58 different countries. United States, we've got the most. Yippee. 425 total, more than any other country. And the guy who's number one still, although Gates is catching him, the number one guy is Carlos Slim.
Carlos Slim of Mexico.
Hello. Yeah. Of Mexico. Mexico. Accent on the U. Hello. Anyway.
Telecom.
He's got the only phone company in Mexico. Yeah. That'll do it. Buenos dias. Would you like to make a phone call?
Yep, that'll do it.
I'll be charging you.
And I tell you, he's still trying to grow that business. A billion has not been enough for him.
Well, he's got $69 billion, but that's down. Gates is up. Hey, this is pretty remarkable. Forbes said pointed out kind of as a side note, but that's just pretty incredible. He helped to wipe out polio in India.
Is that right?
That's amazing. So good for you, Mr. Gates. But he's got $61 billion, mostly because Microsoft stock has jumped up.
It sure has.
Your buddy Warren Buffett took a little bit of haircut.
Yeah.
He's down to $44 billion. So he was up over $50 billion. I don't know if, I won't go there. I've done it enough. Maybe his politics is costing him some money. We'll see. Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg is now worth $17.5. Here's a couple interesting ones. Kevin Plank, who is the founder of the sportswear maker Under Armour. Mm-hmm. He's on the list. And Sarah Blakely with her Spanx line
of
newfangled girdles. So it's all, I guess, what's underneath that counts. anyway, so they made the list. And she's the youngest self-made woman billionaire, 41.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, good for her. Pretty impressive. So with that, of course, that required me to break out my fuss budget billionaire tax spreadsheet.
All right.
That if Mr. Buffett wants to help take care of the tax situation we have in the United States and shortage of revenue versus our expenses and our running a deficit, then we can ask all those billionaires to pay a 50% tax bracket, and that will give us an extra $56 billion in taxes a year. Thank you, Mr. Buffett. Thank you. Great idea.
You know who's no longer on the billionaire list?
Who's that?
Alan Stanford.
Well, you know what? Let's go to a quick break. It won't be 30 years. It'll just be 30 seconds, and we'll talk about Mr. Stanford. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we're back. Stanford. Okay, give us a scoop, Scott.
Alan Stanford, who basically was a self-made man, came from nothing to build his own personal fortune.
He had a gym, that's right. Building that business, and he decided to take it to a new level.
Yeah, became a billionaire, $2.2 billion at one point, convicted on Tuesday of 13 out of 14 charges of money laundering and fraud in a Ponzi scheme that cost investors billions of dollars.
So he's 61. He could be facing 230 years in prison.
Yeah, and it's just the same old story. It's not a sophisticated thing. He was basically promising higher rates on CDs than anybody else was paying, and he was doing it with follow-up investor money.
So classic Ponzi.
Yeah, classic Ponzi, but he is going away for a very, very long time and will most certainly be in the same prison as his friend Bernie Madoff. They can play bridge together.
Sit on it, Ponzi. Hey. He's going to have to sit on it. He's going to be sitting on it for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, I did some, it's just ridiculous. And again, here's a message. In the very good book, How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams, by yours truly, I've got a section here talking about the hideouts from scammers. Here's some real simple stuff to do to avoid this kind of nonsense. There are three hideouts from scammers. Banks and credit unions. They're regulated heavily.
Yeah.
Insurance companies, who are also regulated heavily. And investment custodians, the folks that hold the money, like a Fidelity, a Ameritrade, a Schwab, a Scottrade, an E-Trade.
Yeah. Mr. Stanford had all his money offshore.
What do you know?
Yeah.
And he was a knight in Antigua.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Okay. So, but you can, that's right in my book, and I talk about it. You go with places that are well-tested, safe, well-regulated, scrutinized by the regulators all the time. That's how you avoid getting yourself in trouble. Here was something I thought that was kind of amusing. Mr. Stanford was considered a flight risk. So he's been in jail for the last couple of years, but you know, had all kinds of difficulties in jail, got into a fight. You know, they weren't sure.
He got amnesia.
I don't know if it was selective or not, but he got amnesia. There's a flight risk with these guys because they've got the money. Other people's money to try to get somewhere else. So the countries, I did a quick internet search. Hopefully I won't get a knock at my door later today. But I did a quick internet search for best countries for white collar criminals to flee to. From Business Insider, Russia, Libya, and Iran do not have extradition treaties with the United States, and Cuba is also supposed to be a good place to go when you're trying to hide out from the U.S.
But the problem is you have to live there.
Exactly. Can you imagine? Well, and that made me think of another one. One of the things I'd done some research for that Great Advice book is I did research on some of the other scams that people haven't heard about. And there was one in South Florida with Scott Rothstein.
Yeah.
Who was playing games with
Palm Beach, right?
Palm Beach, South Florida, yeah. And he was basically scamming people out of their money by doing fictitious settlement awards. And anyway, he got nailed for it, and it turned out
he was an attorney.
Yeah, I mean, talk about lowering the bar.
Yeah.
So $1 billion scam. Well, he got on a plane. He had done research on where to go, and he was headed to Morocco.
Yeah.
And then I guess he turned around because Morocco is allegedly another place that you can go. But these are all places that are pretty rough.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Thomas Crown Affair with, what's the actor's name? I'll think of it in a minute.
You haven't
watched it. But anyway, they make it look like, you know, these guys that the white collar guys that do something they aren't supposed to, and they go to some other exotic country and it's gorgeous and not the way it is.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that's interesting. All right, Scott. Well, I'm going to let you go. Get back to work, and when I come back from this next break, this is cool. Let's talk about wealth. 81-year-old wins the 6th largest jackpot, and I want to talk about what you can do if you find yourself in such a situation, either from lottery or from inheriting a large chunk of money. Stay tuned.
Creating a world with less cancer takes a team effort. It takes survivors and caregivers and regular folks like you and me who all unite at Relay for Life. This year, nearly 4 million people nationwide will come together to celebrate, remember, and fight back. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at relayforlife.org.
All right, we're back. Now, wouldn't it be cool to win the lottery? We hear stories of it. Here's a story in USA Today. 81-year-old wins the 6th largest jackpot. That's pretty neat. Newport, Rhode Island resident, let's see, Louise White celebrated her own Super Tuesday. She got a $336 million jackpot under advice of her family, attorneys, accountants, advisors. She took the lump sum option for a measly $210 million. Now, she'll have to pay tax on that, I'm sure, some portion of that, but if she got good advice, they're putting it into a trust right away. The check is written to... She bought the winning lottery ticket from a place called the Rainbow Sherbert, or she went to buy Rainbow Sherbert. Anyway, they call it the Rainbow Sherbert Trust is the name of the money where it's going. So pretty neat. So the question is, what do you do if that happens? This is always the kind of fun thing to lay around on the couch on a Sunday afternoon and say, what if we won the lottery? Every family has had that kind of conversation. I've done that with my parents, and it's fun. I'll tell you what I think you should do, and it's exactly what I told them. Is you tell nobody, you unplug the phone, you turn off your computer, just take it all and just shut everything down. And if your name gets in the paper, you better find a place to hide for a little bit. I mean, literally hide. You check into a hotel, go stay at a family member's home in another state, and you need to huddle with your closest advisors, and you need to develop a plan, because you will be descended upon like vultures on a carcass on the side of the road. The offers of investing, family members you did not know you had, relatives 6 times removed, business deals, everybody wanting loans, charities, some of them great causes, some of them maybe not so. It would be incredible. The good thing is that you need 3 essential people. You need a good advisor. One with find the advisor you can find with the most experience, credentials, education, all that good stuff. You need to find a very good attorney, and you need to find a very good CPA. Same criteria. and there needs to be a huddle. But you probably need one, and you probably need one more fourth key person is a spiritual advisor to guide you through what's going to be a rather difficult period of time. So maybe your pastor or whatever may be appropriate for your particular denomination. You need to huddle and develop a plan. You might need a trust. You might need wills. You might need powers of attorney. You might need a variety of different things done. And then you need to figure out where to part the money, how to diversify it. But there's a lot of legal work, a lot of financial planning work. That's the pro's job, but you want to make sure that you are prepared. Now, when it comes to loaning money, giving money to family members, I'm actually going to take a little bit more of an approach. You may be surprised. I actually think you don't loan anybody money. No loans. Now, some of the experts out there say, y'all, you need to loan money, have a formal agreement. You know what I say? Forget that. You need to sit down and say, how much money am I going to give my family? Flat out. And you need to sit down and figure out what that is. And then you need to simply write them a one-time check, and that's it. So if you've got 15 family members all of a sudden, and you've decided you're going to share X percentage, you write a check for that amount of money, and that's it. Now, if you want to try to help control that or whatever it is and set up trust form, and there's a lot of things you can do. But if it were me, I'd probably write checks and say, here you go. This is it. I'm happy to share this with you. But loan, you can create some real friction. Just make it a gift. Money you didn't have, now you do. You give them part of it. Investment deals, you'll be bombarded. Here's something convenient about having that triumvirate of financial and legal and accounting people. Pick one, maybe the financial planner, and say, I don't consider any business deals. My financial planner reviews all deals, and here's his number. They call. So let's say you've picked me. Good choice, by the way. You've picked me, and I'm playing interference for you. I'm going to ask them, okay, fine. Sure, we'd be happy to consider doing something with you and investment-wise. Submit me a business plan. Send me over a proposal. Put together something that I can review and consider. And probably most of those people with a get-richer-quick scheme, perhaps for them, maybe not so much for you, that they will all of a sudden disappear. Anybody that wants something, charities, direct them to your planner. Isn't that cool? So us planners are very convenient excuses. I've been used for years by couples that, David said so. You know, we need to do this and we need to do that. The point is that if this kind of thing happens to you, which is a wonderful thing, there are stories all over the place. In fact, I was going to give you an example of one. Let's see here. Athletes are a great example. Former Wall Street Journal reports, former baseball star Lenny Dykstra, who filed bankruptcy in 2009, had a net worth of $58 million. You don't want that to be you. But stay tuned to this program, and hopefully your finances will go up, not the other way. Thanks for joining me.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.